Hello, this is Cody Sturge with the pastor at Chilhowee Baptist Church, and you're listening to Keep Thy Heart Daily. This is a radio ministry, podcast ministry of the Chilhowee Baptist Church. We're thankful that you've tuned in today as we're preaching through God's Word. We're praying God's Word will speak to your heart as it's preached and taught from the pulpit of the Chilhowee Baptist Church.
In your Bibles this morning, the book of James, James chapter number 5. James 5 and James the book is primarily written to Christian people. And there's some exciting truths. Some things are very helpful in this passage of Scripture. And in chapter number 5, when you come to the first 6 verses, as a preacher, when you're preparing a message, I'm reading this text and want to understand the text. And then I'm looking for folks who've preached it before and studied it before and know smarter than me, which isn't hard to find. And I'm looking for help. And sometimes as you study through a Scripture, and you find places, you'll find sections of Scripture where a lot of folks have been tempted to jump across it. And this is one of those passages of Scripture that's rarely dealt with, and I'm not claiming to be special, and I can, but there's some interesting things here that are helpful, and it's kind of fun because someone came up to me just a little while ago after the early service and said, that was an unusual message, and I said, well, thank you, and they meant it well. I said, I don't come up with the messages. God comes up with the message. I just preach what's there. And I'm excited to share this passage of Scripture with you. Today's message is titled this, Three Things Riches Cannot Prevent. Three things riches cannot prevent. And often I think a passage of Scripture like this is passed over because it can become a bit uncomfortable to deal with the subject of riches. But I believe as we go through this passage of Scripture and as I begin to explain and show you some things in God's Word, I think that you'll be forced to agree almost without exception that among us, we are all blessed with riches. And I'm confident that we are all, in a certain light, rich men because of the many blessings of God that we have at this moment in our lives. And I'm looking forward to sharing this with you. Three things riches cannot prevent. The Bible says in James chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And we'll stop there, take our message today. Three things riches cannot prevent. Let's just begin here in verse 1. The Bible says, go to now, ye rich men. Now, the first phrase, go to now, it's a call. Hey, listen, pay attention. Wake up, listen up. How many of you ever had to say to your kids, listen up now, right now, listen to me, hey. That's what James is doing. Listen, pay attention. He's done it recently in this book of the Bible, just a few verses ago. If you look back in chapter 4, verse number 13, literally just 5 verses prior, the Bible says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And he's like, hey, listen, if you think that you can plan your life and leave God out, you've got another thing coming. And then we come back to verse number 1, and the subject matter is very, very similar. The Bible says, hey, go to now, ye rich men. Rich men. Now, who in the world's a rich man? Most people would not refer to themselves as a rich man, but I want you to see something in God's Word, and I would about guarantee you that the majority of us present today are rich men and rich women. Some things that we can see here. There's an emphasis in this text on verse number 2. It says, "Riches, your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten." Most of the time, in this Bible time and in biblical society, and literally up until just 100 years ago, riches and a rich man was someone ultimately that had plenty to eat and decent clothes to wear. If you're here today and you've got plenty to eat and decent clothes to wear, by the Bible standards, you're rich. And actually, by the standard of the world in which we live, you are rich. How many of you have ever been to a third world country? When you go to a third world country, you leave that place coming home realizing, my lands, I am rich. You know, riches are connected to food and clothing. There's an interesting thing that took place in New York City in the 1800s. In 1869, there was a club founded, and it was called the Fat Man's Club. The Fat Man's Club was founded in 1869 because in 1869, if you were a fat man, it was an evidence that you were wealthy. It was something to be proud of. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to be part of this club, you had to weigh at least 200 pounds. And once you'd reached 200 pounds and you joined this club, you became a person that had prestige in society because it was evident that you had plenty to eat. So I want to tell you today, if you're here and you weigh over 200 pounds, you're rich. I've been rich since seventh grade. It's a funny thought, but it's so real. We are so blessed. And we've got to be careful because when the Bible talks about rich men and riches, we cannot say, well, that's for somebody else. We have to understand that this message and these truths, when we see these people who are planning their lives because they have abundance, we can't excuse ourselves from being rich because we are. If you've got plenty to eat and clothes to wear, you're a blessed person. And when we get into a society and a situation in our world, in our lives, where we have what we need and we don't have to work really hard for it, then it becomes very possible that we will develop a mindset that says riches is what makes me happy. Material things and wealth and more wealth is what will make me happy, what will satisfy me, what will bless me, what will help me. And when we come to this passage of Scripture, James is reminding the people in the church. He says, now listen, you rich men, don't be fooled into believing that life with its possessions without God is genuinely and truly blessed. It's just not so. You see, God does not hate rich people. There's a movement all over our world that despises people that have things. That's not how God works. God doesn't despise people that have things. As a matter of fact, I believe God blesses us with things along the way. Things are not the evidence of God's blessing, but God is good to us. And it's okay to have some things. Let's talk about some rich men that God blessed and used through the Bible. Abraham was a rich man. Isaac, his boy, he was rich too. Jacob was full of wealth. Job was a rich man. Joseph was wealthy. At one time in Joseph's life, he was second in command in the most powerful nation in all the world. God didn't despise Joseph's riches. David was a rich man. In the New Testament, it's believed and there's proof to testify to the fact that Barnabas was a rich man. How about Joseph of Arimathea? You remember him? God used a rich man to provide an empty tomb for Jesus to stay in, but just for 3 days. It's good. It's not bad. It's It's not bad to have things. But I'll tell you, it's not bad to have things, but it's a bad thing when things have you. And it's easy to get to the place where we let things have us and possess us and run us and rule us. And so James is sending a word to the church. He says, you be careful. Wake up. Be careful, rich men. You see, there's also some very negative examples of the Bible of what the love of money or the yearning for riches does. Just in our Sunday school class last week, we went to the book of Joshua and talked about Achan. Achan saw the riches of the people of Jericho and hid them in his home, and judgment fell on his house and cost the nation of Israel dearly. Delilah, the wife of Samson, sold out Samson's secret for a portion of money. She thought somehow that a little bit of money would be better than faithfulness to her man. How about Solomon? He was a rich man. But the more riches Solomon had, the more riches Solomon wanted. And Solomon did all kinds of awful things that even led him to paganism in order to get more and to have more influence and to be richer. In the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira wanted to put on the appearance of wealth and declared to the church that they'd given all they had, but they hadn't. And it cost them their lives. How about this guy, Judas Iscariot? You remember him? Can you imagine getting to the place where you think that 30 pieces of silver is more valuable than Jesus? That's where he was. And we may say in our hearts, well, I'll tell you, I'd never do that. But you wait just a second. What is it that you're pursuing, to the neglect of your relationship to Jesus Christ? Just like Judas, you believe that that possession and the riches of this world is more valuable than Jesus. Judas thought somehow in a demented state that 30 pieces of silver was better than a relationship with the creator of the universe. We fall in that trap. Oh, how many Christian people over an inheritance or over a piece of money or over a thing have allowed bitterness and anger and wrath to boil up inside of them for years and years to come? It's not strange. As a matter of fact, it happens over and over and over and over again. Why? Because we have deceived ourselves into believing that having some riches or having something is better than having peace with God. Better than having a relationship with our families. Better than Jesus. And just like Judas Iscariot, we've fallen into the trap, the rich man trap, that says, if I could have this, then I could be happy. Let me tell you something. You can have this and be happy. Or you can be without this and be happy if you have Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ must come first. Because I'm going to have you know something. There are a lot of things that riches cannot provide for you. And God will give it all to us. Folks, there may be a rare exception in this room today of someone who's not rich. But I don't know of it. And as rich men and rich women, as rich children, as rich people, we've got to remember something. That it is very easy to be consumed with our riches. May we be reminded that it's not the pursuit of something that will satisfy the yearning of our soul. It is the pursuit of someone.
Thank you for listening today to Keep Thy Heart Daily. This is a ministry of faith of the Chilhowee Baptist Church. For more Bible preaching, Visit us at ChilhoweeBaptistChurch.com or download our app wherever you get your apps. Chilhowee Baptist Church. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful day.